The message title this morning is Faith is Found in Jesus, the Word. And we want to turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we're going to be looking at this woman, the bleeding woman. It is an account that we're probably familiar with, but we're going to read it today. And there's one part of this account that I would like to focus on. Mark chapter 5, let me begin in verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now, this is the account of the bleeding woman, and here's a picture that I found of her. And I thought it was a good picture, and we'll come back to it in a little while. But this woman, she's in this crowd, and as we have been going through the Gospel of Mark, we see that there's a huge crowd around Jesus all of the time. 2 weeks ago, we studied the paralytic account. And the crowd was so great that they had to go to the roof and take off the roof and lower the paralytic down before Jesus in the house. That's how many people were thronging around Jesus. And so here's another crowd. And as Jesus is moving through the crowd, you have this woman. Now, this woman has been sick for over 12 years. She's had this physical problem for over 12 years, which is a long time. The doctors couldn't help her. And rather, she suffered worse. She got worse by going to the doctor. She didn't improve. She just kept on going with this over and over and over again for all of this time. And she spent all her money on health care. Now, does that sound familiar? Yeah, all right. There was a quick response there. Maybe your experience with health care in our day has given you something to attach yourself to this woman and her experience. The ailment that we experience might be different than what she went through, but the process is often the same. I can't tell you how often I hear of things like this. Even with all the advancement in medicine, finding a proper diagnosis is often difficult. Getting the right medication is difficult a lot of times. Dealing with medication side effects is worse than the actual ailment a lot of times. And then the money that's involved is incredible. So when I first moved to this area in the year 2000, I thought I was paying a lot of money when I had to pay $1,200 a month for my mortgage on my home. I thought that was a lot of money. However, my health care monthly premium is over $2,500 a month for my family. That's the healthcare.gov. Now, thankfully, that's subsidized for the most part. Otherwise, I'd be in the poorhouse. Who can afford $2,500 a month for health care, not to mention all of the other stuff? So, anyway, we've experienced some of this. Finding a proper diagnosis, finding the proper medication, dealing with medication side effects, and this is what we're talking about when we consider this woman. But in all of this, as she is dealing with this, when Jesus comes to town and Jesus is proclaiming the kingdom of God and he is showing power in healing and delivering, and wonderful things are happening around Jesus and the crowds are thronging to him. She hears of this and her faith is quickened. Her faith is quickened. And so she goes out. She hears about Jesus. Look at verse 27 to 28 again. She hears about Jesus. It says, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now this is what she's thinking. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. This is the expression of her faith. If I just touch his clothes, I will be made well. Now, I always assumed that she was just kind of being humble here. This was kind of her humble approach to Jesus. She didn't want to bother Jesus. There was a lot of people around Jesus, and who was she, you know, to take his time? So she came up with this unassuming expression of faith that she's thinking to herself, well, if I just touch his clothing, well, I'll be okay. Maybe that'll be enough for me to experience healing from Jesus. And so she comes up with this plan, and she follows through on it. And sure enough, she touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and she's made well. However, upon thinking about this and studying this passage a little bit more, her faith may have been more scripturally based than I had assumed. So she's not just coming up with this idea in her mind. Rather, she is building her faith and this approach to Jesus based on what she has learned and understood in Scripture. And if this is true, then we find in her a model for our faith as we come to Jesus. So there's an interesting verse, and it's found in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. And so here's the verse, and it goes like this. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Now this is in the book of Malachi. It's in the last chapter of the Old Testament, and it is a verse that expresses this idea of when the Messiah comes, there will be healing in his wings. Now notice how it starts. It says, you who fear my name. And this is a big idea and a big theme in the Scriptures, the idea of the fear of the Lord. And it is an idea that reflects a heart that is disposed towards God, a heart of those who love him and seek him. It reflects a heart of those who look to him. And so I hope that everybody here in this service this morning has this fear of the Lord, this fear of the Lord, where you are looking to God, you have this respect for him, this desire for him, you are loving him, you are seeking him, you are heading towards him. Those who fear my name. So, to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. Now, this is not Son, S-O-N, as we might think it could be, but it is Son, like the sun that shines in the sky. And so when we consider the sun is something that rises, and as it rises, it brings with it light that shines in the darkness. It brings with it warmth. It brings with it a new day. It brings with it a new hope. And it brings with it rejuvenation and healing. So the sun rises, and there is, after resting all night, there is this kind of just kind of peace and strength and hope and joy that rises with the new day. And so the sun shall rise. But it's not just the sun that rises. It is the Son of Righteousness. And when we talk about the Son of Righteousness, well, here then we have an image of the coming Messiah, a type of the coming Messiah. And so the Messiah would come like the sun rises. He shall rise. He shall rise with righteousness. And with the rising of righteousness, there will be righteousness and truth and goodness instead of the darkness of sin. There'll be, with this rise of righteousness, there will be the freedom from the guilt of sin. With the rise of righteousness, it will shine upon the wickedness that abounds in this broken world. And instead of rebellion against God, there will be a running towards God. Instead of the wages of sin leading to death, there is the hope of life. The Son of Righteousness will come. He will bring with him truth. He will bring with him life. He will bring with him forgiveness. He will bring with him the opportunity to restore a relationship with God himself. And as this Son of Righteousness arises, he will bring healing in his wings. Healing in his wings. Now, I was searching for a picture of a bird spreading its wings over its chicks. And I was shocked at how many fabricated images there are these days. You know what I mean? So I really could not find a good picture that was real. So in one picture, for example, the feathers, you know, the wing was spread out, and the feathers at the tip were kind of bent around one of the chicks. You know, just kind of, you know, it was things like that. Well, here was a real picture, and I had to go to a video to get this. So here's this bird. It walks up in the nest, and as it comes over the chicks, and there's two or three, I don't remember how many, it looks like three. As the mother bird came over the chicks, she raised her wings, just like this. So it's hard to tell, but this is a real picture. The wings are raised. She's standing over the chicks. Now, I never knew what that had to do with healing. I mean, going back to our verse here, he has healing in his wings, because the idea of spreading the wings over your chicks is not an idea of bringing healing for the chicks. It's the idea of protecting the chicks. And so I never was sure what healing in his wings really meant, and I didn't know what the spreading of the wings of a mother bird had to do with healing. I thought maybe there was some obscure symbolism going on here, and you provide protection and somehow healing comes in as well. However, there's another way to consider this verse and this idea. And actually, Alan Getz, our very own Alan Getz, right over here, raise your hand, Alan. Now, you know, whenever we have a Bible study or Sunday school, this is Alan when he raises his hand and he wants to make a comment. I don't know if he's itching or scratching his beard or, on his head, or he has a ding, he has an idea, or if he really wants to say something. So now that I've made Alan turn completely red, almost purple over there. I'm sure, really quickly too, right? But so on Wednesday night, we had our Bible study on Wednesday night, and we were talking about faith, and this woman came up, the account of this woman who was bleeding. Came up, and I was bringing it up for the mentioning of her faith. And he went into this thing about Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, that the Lord, when he comes, will have healing in his wings. And so I said, okay, Alan, I'll look it up. And I intended to, because I did the next day. So I looked it up, and the primary meaning of this word wings is just that, wings. However, what's... actually, it's a pretty powerful picture, this idea of the wings, because the Lord takes it up when he's referring to us. So before I go on, I wanted to look at a couple of verses here. Look at Exodus 19:4, and there's encouragement in this, because we see a way that the Lord kind of takes us up and helps us and delivers us and protects us and so on. So in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4, it says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians." This is a reference to when the people of Israel came out of Egypt into the promised land. "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians," and here's what it says, "I bore you on eagle's wings," that's our word, "and brought you to myself." You see, so it's the idea of God taking up his people upon his wings and delivering them from the people from the armies of Egypt. What a great picture that is. Another passage, Deuteronomy chapter 32, "As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings," there's the word again, wings, "taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him," talking about Israel, his people, "and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock." So again, the idea of God carrying his people on his wings and soaring above the earth, above all of the trouble, above all of the circumstances, above all of the negativity of the earth, the Lord takes us up and carries us over it and away from it and provides for us. Again, what a wonderful and beautiful picture of what the Lord does. However, when we consider the Malachi passage, there is another idea. Let me go back here. The word wings actually means extremity. So the word wing, well, the wing is the extremity of the bird, and that's the most often way it's used. But it could refer to some other extremity like an arm or even an ear in one passage. And a lot of times this word extremity or wing is translated as corner, edge, or hem. And it is used in this way. So when we consider our Malachi 4:2 passage, a better translation or a more appropriate translation would be this. He shall arise with healing in his hems. Now I know that sounds really strange because we're used to hearing that as healing in his wings, but it can be translated that he will bring healing in his hems or in the corners or the edges of his garment. So for her then to touch his garment is not such a far-fetched idea. She is building this idea of touching his garment, possibly from this scripture and probably from some other scriptures, but it is not something that she has come up with on her own. As a matter of fact, we see in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 this time, in the Matthew account of this passage, it actually says this. Suddenly a woman came up, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garments. So there it specifically says that she came up to touch the hem of his garments. And apparently this idea of touching the hem of the garments was not unique to her. It was something that the people of Israel must have been taught about. Because we read this in Mark chapter 6, verse 56, just a little bit later from where we read this account. So it says, wherever Jesus entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplace and begged him. Now look, they begged him that they might just touch the hem. Now that word hem there is the same word. The hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. So there is this understanding among the people of Israel that there is healing in his hems. Now, where did that idea come from? Where would they come up with this idea, if I touch his hem, or there is healing in his hem, or what is significant about the hem of the garment? Well, for this, we have to go back to the law. And in the earlier passages of the Old Testament, we read this, Numbers chapter 15, verses 38 through 41. It says, speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tassels on the corners. There's the same word that's translated as wings in Malachi and as hem in other places. The corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassel of the corner. So the people, they were to wear this long robe-like thing, and on the corners of the garment, they took a tassel and they attached it, and they wove within it a blue thread. And so this is what hung down from the corners, from the wings of this garment. And it says in verse 39, this is Numbers 15:39, you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. And so they put these tassels on the corners of their garments, this tassel with blue thread wound in it, to remind them of God's word, to remind them of the commandments. And so as they're walking along and as they're seeing other people walking along and they see these tassels, it is one of the many reminders that they were given to remember the commandments of the Lord and to remember his word. And so let's look at this picture again. Whoever came up with this picture really had some insight into all of this. So this is not unique with me. You'll see the woman, she is low in the crowd. She is reaching forward to touch the hem of his garment, and there is a tassel with blue thread hanging from him. That's what she's going to grab. It's amazing. Whoever came up with this had some insight there. And so this woman, based on what she had been taught in the Old Testament, is reaching out to Jesus, the true word of God, in order to find the healing that she needed. And so it's an expression of her faith. And we know that true healing comes from Jesus, that if we seek healing, whether it be from the physical things that we're dealing with, whether it is spiritual healing, the forgiveness of sins, and the giving of eternal life, we know that comes to us from Jesus. And when Jesus heals, he heals perfectly. You know, we go to the doctors, and they do all of these investigations and tests and stuff, and they prescribe all of this medication, and we're hoping that what they give us will work, don't we? And so we start taking the medicine right away, and we go back to the doctor when we're supposed to. All the meantime, we're taking these things and we're hoping it will work. They do this little surgery and everything will be fixed for the rest of my life. But in reality, the rest of your life, as you head towards the end of the life, there will be other sicknesses and other diseases to take the place of the ones that you've overcome, should you happen to overcome one. And there is failure in the end, right? For everyone dies, save the Lord's return. But in Jesus, we find true healing. And so let us come and grab the corner of his garment for the true healing of our soul. Now, what can we take away from this? I have some exhortations here. First of all, persevere in your faith. So this is more practical. What can we learn from this woman's example of trying to grabbing the corners of his garments? First of all, persevere in your faith. Persevere in your faith. She had this sickness for 12 years. And it would be nice, you know, if we go to the doctor, we take the medicine, and our ailment disappears. 2 weeks tops, right? I can deal with this for 2 weeks, but not any longer than that, I don't want it. But she persevered for 12 years, and I know that's unrealistic. Most of us have to deal with our health things for a lot longer than 2 weeks. They drag on for a long time, and in this case, 12 years. But that should not be the signal for us to give up. Never give up. Never lose your faith in the Lord. The doctors may fail. We might give all of our money to the doctors and not get any better, but get worse. But the Lord will never fail us. And with Jesus, there is hope of eternal life that nothing can take away. And so Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 and 23 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast." Now there's the perseverance. Take hold of the Lord. Hold him fast. Don't let go no matter what. Because there are a lot of enemies out there that will seek to take us away from our faith in him. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful." So persevere in your faith. Don't give up. Keep going to Jesus as long as it takes. Number two, go to Jesus, the Word. Her desire to touch the garment sprung, I believe, from this teaching from the Old Testament. And so she looked to that. She held on to the truth of Scripture and she acted on it, which will be another one of our points. So here we are. We've been to Sunday school, some of us. We're here in the service and we're here in the sermon. We've sung the songs, which are songs of truth. And what we should do is take the word that comes to us, whatever it might be. Take it, write it down, think about it, and hold on to it and don't let go. When I take notes for sermons, I don't try to copy what the person is saying. I'll write their main points down, but I'll start writing the things that are impacting me from what they're saying. Truths that I'm being reminded of. And those are the things that I'm writing down. These are my takeaways. I want to take these things that I'm reminded of by the Spirit of God. I'm taking them. I'm writing them down. I'm making a note of them. I'm thinking about them. I'm holding on to them, and I'm trying to put them into practice. My takeaways. And that is my encouragement. You might hear this whole sermon and only one thing stands out to you from it. That's okay. Take that one thing with you when you leave and put it to use in your life. Oftentimes you will find that the Lord is working here and there and bringing all these things together. And when we're looking for it, He does this a lot more about it. So, on Wednesday night, we were talking about faith. In the discussion on faith on Wednesday night, I brought up this. When I brought this up, Alan had his comment about Malachi 4:2. I thought, that is pretty interesting. I'm going to go look it up. So the next morning, I went and I looked it up. As I'm looking up, I'm thinking, well, here, there is something to this. So that was fine. I put it aside, and then I thought, it's Thursday. I better start preparing my message. I was running a little late this week. So I better start preparing my message. I get into the from where I left off last time, and I start reading to see where the Lord is going to lead me. And sure enough, this, very soon, after my last message, this is the account that came up. And as soon as it did, it was like, oh man, I've already been studying this a little bit, and I think this is what the Lord would have for me. So I started to prepare it. And I looked into Malachi 4:2 and all the other verses. And this morning, so I'm reading through this book. It's called The Valley of Vision. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's a collection of prayers from the Puritans. So I've been reading it devotionally. So this morning, I opened it up to read, and I'm on the chapter called Love, or the section called Love, page 290 in this book. And I read this towards the end. When I feel the warmth of the sun, may I praise thee who art the Son of Righteousness with healing power. Now I read that and it was like, now normally I would have said, yeah, you know, I'm familiar with that and just kind of read right over it and keep on going. But this morning, because it was connected to Wednesday night and because it was connected to my sermon preparation, and I'm reading it and now it jumps out at me because it is linked directly to what I have been working on and studying and what the Lord has revealed to me. And so you have all of these little connections, and this is what happens when we take the Word of God with us. Take that one truth or two truths or whatever it is the Lord impresses on your heart, take it, and you will begin to see it connected to other things. And when that begins to happen, the idea that the Lord is with me and He is working in my life and He is helping me and He is not leaving me or forsaking me just is implanted within my heart, and it is a building up of faith. And so let us go to Jesus, the Word of God. You will often hear me refer to, well, you know, this Sunday morning we talked about this, and on Wednesday night Colin said this, and in my weekly emails I'll write one point that stood out to me, even though I'm preaching. You know, the biggest person I'm preaching to is myself every time I preach. Not you guys, it's me. I need this more than all of you all combined. So anyways, you know, I'll write down the thing that stands out to me and include it in my weekly email. The point is this: take the Word of God, take that truth that He's teaching you, that He's revealing to you, that He's impressing upon your heart, take it with you and feed on it spiritually. Jesus answered when He was being tempted, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So just when we take our food that is necessary, let us remember the need for His word as well. Our third point this morning, act on your faith. Act on your faith. So we're talking about building up the faith. We're talking about coming to Jesus. We're talking about having the kind of faith that is pleasing to Him, to see Him working in our lives and to bring the most glory to Him. Act on it. Now, you all are acting on it. You are here in church. That is a step of faith. That is an action that you have put into practice. Let this be one of many throughout this day and throughout the week. Take the Word of God, put it into practice in your life, act on it, and you will begin to see the Lord work. Faith comes by hearing, and the hearing, the Word of God. So faith comes from hearing. And when you hear it, be a doer of the Word. Put it into practice, and your faith will come as a result of that. And then finally, have genuine faith. Have genuine faith. Now, when we studied the paralytic, the main point was this, one of the takeaways. The forgiveness of sins is more important than physical healing. Now, that was one of the things that we took away from it. The paralytic wanted healing, but Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. And we saw how that is more important than the physical healing. Today, what I want us to take away is this, that the testing of our faith, that the struggle of our faith brings out the genuineness of that faith, and that is more important than physical healing. We go to Jesus out of a genuine faith, not because of what we can get from it and get from Him. We go to Him out of a genuine faith that we might have a true relationship with Him. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, as we consider this woman and her reaching out to touch the hem of His garment, let us remember to persevere in our faith, to go to Jesus, the Word. Let us act on our faith, and let our faith be true and genuine faith. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I thank You for being with us through this day. I thank You for Your blessings and for the grace that abounds towards us. I pray, oh Lord, that we would look to You, that we would look to Your Word, that we would take hold of the things that You reveal to us, that we would put it into practice in our lives, and that we would begin to see You act in an amazing way. We pray, O Lord, that everything that takes place, that it would be for Your glory, even as You do things that are a blessing and a benefit to us. We give You all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have announcements, right? Oh, yeah, Susan. Where is Susan? We're getting ready to launch. There she is. Come on up and go ahead and make your announcement, and we'll show the video. And when Susan is done, we'll have a couple of announcements, and then we'll be dismissed.